You're listening to Morning Edition. I'm Amber Chavez. City Council elections are right around the corner, and early voting begins on April 22nd. Among two candidates challenging incumbent Kyle McAllister for Abilene's Place 5 City Council seat is Abilene attorney Corey Clements. Clements began his Abilene law firm in 2014 and has been a part of several city organizations, including the Chamber of Commerce, the Redcoats, and Abilene Young Professionals. The fire and police unions have endorsed him for Place 5. Corey, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you are not new to the elections process, having run 2 years ago against Donna Albus for Place 3. What did you learn from that experience that you're applying to your campaign now?
Well, one thing I learned is you've got to get out there in front of more people. You've got to get to know more people and let more people get to know you, more importantly. And so I think that one thing we carry over from last time to this time is a little bit more name recognition, and I think that came with a little more support this time.
And on your campaign website, you mentioned that you believe in making, quote, intentional investments to ensure the longevity of the city. How do you plan on keeping college students, small business owners, and the younger generation from leaving Abilene?
Well, that's a tricky situation. I think you have to build to get there. And what we have to do as a city is make sure that we're inviting to those businesses and we're attractive to those businesses. And when those businesses are searching for a place to go, that we are competing with our neighboring cities and our competitor cities of the same size across the state, making sure that Abilene is where they choose. Because when we bring those businesses here, when we let them know how welcome they are in Abilene, and we can show them what a great community it is, they bring those jobs here. Actually, I was at a forum here on campus this week, and I started out my introduction by asking, by show of hands, who here plans to graduate and stay in Abilene? There were two students in the whole room and some laughter. And one of those students is a non-traditional student, and she's been here her whole life. And so it's not surprising, but the other actually, I think they both were non-traditional students. Neither of them were transplants to Abilene. Neither of them were people who thought, I got here, this place is great and going to provide me a job when I get out. And so I think that, you know, it starts with what the city can do, which, you know, we can't create jobs. That's the private sector's business, but we can help the private sector choose Abilene.
So what are some of the challenges that you've come across during your campaign?
Well, I think a lot of the challenges in any campaign is just making sure that you're getting, that people are getting to know you, that you are aware of how important it is to be around people and communicate with people and still work a job. And so it is quite difficult, but it's good because it gets me ready for, if I were elected, the pressures and the time considerations that it is going to take to do this job. So I think that you've got to get your name out there and make sure that people understand why you want to do this.
So looking forward, Mayor Williams has said that the city will possibly adjust the street maintenance fee this year. What changes would you like to see Abilene make on this policy?
What I want to see out of the street maintenance fee is I want people to understand how we got to the point where we needed a street maintenance fee. I think that what I want to see is that tax is going to be applied as long as it needs to be applied and no longer. And so I want to see that it does its job, it's retired, and we start budgeting for streets in the annual budget like should have been going on the entire time.
And additionally, Abilene is working to reduce vacancies downtown and strengthen businesses. You're pro-business. What steps do you think the City Council needs to take to support these goals?
Well, I think that as a city, we can do very few things. But one thing is the property tax on those buildings. You know, the buildings are not taxed at the rate their square footage maybe should be because they're large buildings, but they're unproductive buildings. So I think what the city could do is encourage productivity by working with property owners on maybe abating those taxes, maybe keeping the taxes lower in the beginning to help somebody build a business, build a productive building. Well, not build it, but to retrofit a building into a productive business that is bringing in and producing for our economy. And that way, those people are not, their income and cash flows are not choked out in the first couple years of business because that's the difficult years where it's hard to make money. So we support them by having a low tax plan in the beginning so that they can afford to sustain paying the taxes at the rate those buildings could be worth.
So when you say unproductive, you mean they're just not making enough money because they're vacant, or because maybe there's like a business that's not making enough money?
No, that the buildings are sitting, okay, the ones that are sitting empty. They're unproductive. We're not using those. And then we have new construction going on, you know, on the south side of town, or even, you know, in other areas of town. But I think that we need to be cognizant of what the potential for those buildings are and the potential for the tax revenue from property, the property taxes of a corporate-type building. But we have to help encourage people to get there to where they're making enough money to where that tax would be built into the business's budget, just like we should be building in street maintenance into our budget.
What do you think the city should do regarding the downtown hotel and the convention center plans?
My position on that is we have to tread lightly. We have to be careful and make sure that we don't just jump into a deal for a hotel just so we have one. But if we can get it done the way the mayor talks about and in a way that the amount of money that the taxpayers would be kind of contributing in a roundabout way, if we get that done in a way that is paid back by the tax generated by that hotel, and that debt would be retired in that manner or in some other manner to where it's paid back any of the money that would be invested in that. That's one of the intentional investments I'm talking about. That hotel would bring 127 jobs at 33,000 plus a year. And that's a direct jobs. That doesn't include the indirect jobs that would naturally come from an investment that size coming into our city.
So what makes you a standout candidate against Cynthia Alvidrez in light of her comments against your connection to the Hispanic community?
Well, I think her comments were a little misleading because her comments were that I didn't stand up for the community. And by that, she means I wasn't at the city council meeting yelling and being disruptive like she was. I don't think that type of behavior is what Abilene needs. I don't think it respects the city. I don't think that it's good for our image. And I think that she went about the situation, which I'll agree it was a difficult situation and that there were offensive things said. But when you match a wrong with a wrong, I think we're taught from childhood that two wrongs don't make a right. And so the comments that she made about Kyle McAllister telling him he was grooming her children like a pedophile grooms children, I think that was a little bit ridiculous to say, specifically because her kids are so young they wouldn't have read that on Facebook had she not read it to them. And so I don't think she was standing up for the Hispanic community there. I think she was standing up for herself to get ready to run for city council.
And how do you plan on engaging the minority communities as a member of city council?
So as a member of city council, that's the way that we would engage in that manner is we would talk about those things. If those issues come up, which I hope they never do again, I would do exactly what I've done already. We've talked to the people who are affected by that. We talk to the people who believe that that is wrong and who I tend to agree with that it is wrong. But I think that most of the Hispanic community, especially those who were offended by the comments, they understand that there's a better way to go about changing things. And that way is accountability at the ballot box, not yelling and disrupting a city council meeting, not being disrespectful to the city as a whole, because you got to remember these things are what we get in the news for. In Abilene, if we want to grow, we cannot have this this reputation that we are undignified in that manner, that we're going to yell and scream at a city council meeting. And so while that is acceptable for citizens to do, that is certainly within their right. If she is wanting to handle it that way in order to show that a sitting city council member didn't handle himself in the way a council member should, I don't see the difference there for her. If she wants the higher standard, then it needs to be for both people. So the way I would connect to those people with anybody who's offended by something I say is I'd sit down with them and I wouldn't apologize to them for them being upset about what I said, because that is not how you apologize. I would apologize for what I'd done wrong and try to understand why those things are hurtful and offensive.
What do you have any plans on engaging further if you were to become a city council member?
I think I would continue being engaged with them and absolutely would have an open door to them. And I think that all citizens in Abilene are, you know, holding me accountable as an elected official if I'm elected. And so Absolutely. The people who feel marginalized in this city are not just of a minority. There are people who are of a lower socioeconomic status than others. Even just young people feel marginalized in this community. And so those people and all of the people who do not feel marginalized in the community would be who I'm responsible to. Just because I have to live on the north side to run, I'm voted on at large by the entire city as a whole. And so that would be very important to me. It's very important for me to let the voters know that I would be looking out for their best interest and the city's best interest. Just like I represent my clients now, I'm representing them.
And is there anything else that you want voters to know about you?
I want voters to know that I'm dedicated to this position. I think that was a question when I ran in 2017 of would he be here still? Would he even fulfill a 3-year term? I've heard that from people. And, you know, you can't prove that to anyone with words. So I hope they've seen by my actions and my involvement in the community and then also the ideas and the attitudes and the skill set that I bring forward to the council. I hope that they see that in me, that dedication, and that I can earn their vote starting April 22nd, one day after Easter.
Corey Clements, Abilene attorney and candidate for City Council Place 5. Thanks again for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me.
For KACU, I'm Amber Chavez.